You may be seated if you would. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy. It's so good to see all of you here today in the house of the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 5, as we continue our journey through the book of 1 Timothy. Paul says this in verses 3 through 8, which we're going to look at this morning. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplication and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your word. That is certainly the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes. And I pray this morning, God, that you would speak to us. God, we know that every word that you've given us in your Bible is meant for us, for our good, for our reproof, for our instruction, so that we could know you. God, I pray this morning that you would speak to us in a way that we never dreamed possible. God, that for believers, that our affections for you would be stirred up, that we'd be brought to repentance and how we fail in this area. And for those who are here this morning that do not know you and the power of your resurrection, that even on a sermon that is predominantly about taking care of widows, that your gospel would crack open their hearts and save them to the uttermost. And you get all the glory for it. God, we pray that you do it all for your fame and for your name and for your glory. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. It's very likely that no one in here has ever heard a sermon about widows. If you have, consider yourself one of the few. I've been a Christian in August, it'll be like 17 years, and I've never heard a sermon on widows. And that's also an indictment against myself, because that means I have never preached a sermon about widows. But one of the beautiful things about preaching the Bible verse by verse, book by book, is that you're going to have to deal with everything. We look at these verses. Maybe you heard them read for the first time this morning. Our initial response upon reading these verses or hearing these verses might be one of disregard or indifference, or at the very least, just disinterest. Maybe you even invited somebody to church this morning. You're sitting there thinking, oh man, come on, are you serious? Verses about widows? How is that going to affect me? How is that going to affect this person that I've invited to come to church? I mean, that's just kind of how we look at it. You're going to a conference on clinging to the gospel, which is what 1 Timothy is about, and they have breakout sessions after the messages, and you have all these classes that you can choose from, like, you know, clinging to the gospel is electing elders who are solid, who are biblical, or one of the classes might be, you know, clinging to the gospel is electing men as deacons to serve the church, or clinging to the gospel is living out the Bible. And then there's one that says, clinging to the gospel is taking care of widows. Be honest with yourself. Which one would you pick? Would you go to the one that said clinging to the gospel was about honoring widows and taking care of them? Would you put that anywhere on your list of classes that you would want to attend? You get what I'm saying, right? And I get what I'm saying. When I read these verses, I was not doing cartwheels going, woohoo, I get to preach on honoring widows, and that's clinging to the gospel. And for those of you who are widows, hang in there, because this has been an incredible week of study for me, because God has really dug into me, because that is a very sinful attitude to have. It is Paul's not confused right now. That's what we kind of tend to think. You know, he's talking about clinging to the gospel, and he's saying all these really powerful and awesome things about what it is for a church to cling to the gospel. And it's almost like it's out of the blue. Paul says, honor widows who are truly widows. We're tempted to say, well, what in the world does this have to do with clinging to the gospel? Well, God has really broke open my heart to realize that it has everything to do with clinging to the gospel. In fact, it's at the very heart of what it means to love the gospel. For just a moment, I want to let you see the heart of God in regards to what He thinks about widows. Deuteronomy 10, 17 through 18. For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. So here is one of the earliest descriptions that God gives us in His Scriptures about Himself. And listen to the things He says, that I am the God of gods, I am the Lord of lords, I am great, I am mighty, I am awesome. I'm a God who defends, who takes care of the fatherless and the widow. So God is describing Himself as one who looks out for these, His people. In Deuteronomy, listen to what it says, Deuteronomy 14, 28 through 29. It says, at the end of every 3 years, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in the same year and lay it up within your towns. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are within your towns shall come and eat and be filled, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands that you do. So here God's heart is, I want you to take care of those who are unable to take care of themselves. And in fact, I'm going to bless you as you do this. God's heart is to take care of those who are unable to take care of themselves, and to do that through His church, through His people. It says, so that I'll bless you. But there are even stronger verses than this, and I'm just simply going to read one section. We could spend many sermons unpacking what the Bible says about widows and orphans. But listen to Exodus 22, 21 through 24. You shall not wrong a sojourner. This is somebody that's traveling and has no place to stay or live. Someone who is maybe from another place. He says, you shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. It was not your home. You were just there visiting, passing through. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will hear their cry and my wrath will burn. And I will kill you with the sword. And your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. Not a playing game with the Lord, is it? Actually, it seems like this is pretty important to Him, that we are taking care of those who are unable to take care of themselves, those who are widows, those who are orphans. The Old Testament is riddled with this language, and there's a whole bunch of beautiful stories about God's grace in widows being taken care of. But let's press on into the New Testament and see that God's heart still has a special place for widows. We see the same thing when we look at Jesus. We see that He's all through the Scriptures, the New Testament, seem to have love for widows. We see Him raising the son of a widow in Nain. He uses a widow to give this beautiful, beautiful picture of what true giving looks like, and that she gave a mite, which is hardly anything, but yet she gave it out of her what she needed. When Jesus was teaching that His people, His disciples, should look out for the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, those hypocrites, one of the things He said about them to describe them, one of His descriptions of them, is that they devour the widow's home. You know what he means? He's like, they don't care about them. All they care about is themselves. They don't care about taking care of the poor. They just care about taking care of themselves. But I think the greatest picture of God's heart toward widows is found at Calvary. Jesus, he's been beaten unmercifully. He's been sentenced and tried and found guilty. And now he is being crucified, hanged naked on a tree, bearing the wrath of God in the place of sinners. And there's seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. Seven things that he chose to say from that tree. And he knew he's God. He knew that the things he said from that tree were going to be weighty things for his people, the church, that it was going to be preserved in his scripture forever. And one of those things that Jesus found to be so important to say is found in John 19, 26 through 27. Jesus, in those verses, saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, which is John, who's writing this gospel. And he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to that beloved disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. I mean, this is a powerful word on so many levels. I mean, you think about the fact that Jesus is spending time with John. He's with him all the time. They just were at the upper room before he was arrested. Jesus could have had that conversation with John in private, and it never would have been recorded. But instead, Jesus waits till he's hanging from that tree to speak words that would be preserved in his scripture. He says, "John, that lady right there, that is your mother. You treat her like your mother. You take care of her like your mother. And mom, John's going to treat you like you were his mother. He's going to take care of you." Jesus is intent to take care of his widowed mother, even as he's bearing the wrath of God on Calvary's tree. Think about that. Even think about the fact that Jesus has brothers. Jude is one of his brothers. James is one of his brothers. Both of them have written letters that are part of our New Testament. But at this time in their life, these men weren't believers. Even though Jesus knew they would be, he's wanting his mother to know, don't fret, don't worry. You're going to be taken care of. You're going to be looked after. I think it's clear that God desires that we look out for those who are widows. And then, one more. Why were deacons selected in the first place? What happens in Acts that requires the pastors to look up and say, "Hey, we need men to help us in serving the church"? It was the fact that some of the widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. They're hungry and no one's helping them to eat. They have no one to care for them, no family to look out for them, and they're being overlooked. And so this problem arose. And so they institute these seven men to help take care of widows. When we get to 1 Timothy chapter 5, we're beginning a section of what it means to cling to the gospel and how that looks in the life of the church and how we're supposed to be loving each other. We looked at that last week. Your maturity in Christ is not how much you read the Bible. It's not how long and beautiful you can pray. It's the fact that you're loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. Plain and simple. You can read this book cover to cover 50 times a week, and if you're not loving your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're nothing but a clanging cymbal. Useless. But when he moves into widows, he's like, your love should go so far as to take care of those who can't take care of themselves. You should be there to minister to them and take care of them. And so Paul spends two verses talking about your fathers and your mothers and your brothers and your sisters, and then 14 verses to deal with those who are widows. That in and of itself speaks highly of it. So 1 Timothy 5:3. Let's get into it. Lengthy introduction just to gain a hearing. 1 Timothy 5:3 says, honor widows who are truly widows. Paul uses the word that he uses for honor here means to take care of, to provide for. But he says, honor those, take care of those who are truly widows. Those are the ones you should be taking care of. What does that mean? Well, Paul doesn't leave us to guess as to what he means by saying truly widows. In fact, we're going to even continue to unpack that next week as he continues to explain it. But this morning, listen to what he says. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well so that they may be without reproach. But, strong word right here, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's strong. The first requirement for being a widow, a true widow, is that they don't have children or grandchildren to care for them. Now, it's not to mean that they're not widows. Doesn't mean that they're haven't lost their husbands. It's just that they're not needed to be provided for by the church because they have family members who should step up to the plate and help provide for their loved ones. If they have family, then Paul says, let them take care of them. Paul says, in fact, that this is a way for them to learn to show godliness. That it's pleasing in the sight of God for His people to take care of their family, to be there for them in their time of need. And so when you think about a widow, it might not necessarily mean that their husband has died. It may mean that he is a coward and he left. It means that it's someone who's a part of our families that needs us. It is our right and it is our responsibility to take care of them. When he says that, let them give a return, he's not saying that, this is some kind of debt that has to be repaid or God's not going to love you or He's not going to save you. It's not like that. Basically what he's saying is that, listen, your mothers and your dads, they took care of you. They raised you up. They put a roof over your head, food in your mouth. It's only right that in their time of need that you would respond in like fashion. That you be there to take care of them, to provide for them. My wife often tells my dad when he tries to be smart with her, she'll say, you better be nice. Remember, you might need me to change your diaper one day. I don't necessarily think that's what Paul is talking about. But I do think one of the things that she's communicating is that I am going to help take care of my family. We are going to be there for our family. We should make sure that we're there for our family because listen to what Paul says in verse 8. Then we're going to come back to verse 5 and finish. He says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So if we don't take care of our own family members, Paul says, we have denied the faith. That's strong. He said, you can't claim to be a believer if you don't strive to care for your loved ones. In fact, he goes so far as to say that you're worse than an unbeliever. What does that mean? I didn't know there was a position that was worse than an unbeliever. But there is. It's a believer who refuses to do the very things that is second nature even to an unbeliever. Pagan Rome was known to be a people who took care of their widowed mothers and grandmothers. Paul's like, God forbid if the people who claim the name of Christ do not do the same. You're worse than an unbeliever. 1 Timothy 5:6, 5:5 says, she who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplication and prayers night and day. So here's another qualification to be a true widow. It's not only a woman who has been left all alone and has no family, but is a woman who set her hope on God, who prays both day and night. You know, I don't want you to think that every time you look at her, she's got her head bowed, just peeking every now and then to look because she's praying all the time. But it just means that it's a woman whose hope's in God. She is a believer. She loves the Lord. A woman who's like Anna, who was in the temple day and night praying for the Messiah when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple. It's a woman known for her godliness. But he goes on to give a little more clarification in verse 6. But she who is self-indulgent, which is the opposite of a woman who has her hope set on God, but she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Paul says we are to take care of widows who set their hope on the living God. Why? Because the woman who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. That's strong language. That's Ephesians 2 language. This means that she is dead in her sins and her trespasses. To be self-indulgent is to be living for this world. It's a woman who is driven by her sinful passions. It is a woman who lives for herself. Paul says that is not the woman that the church is to be spending their resources caring for. Now, I know maybe you're thinking of in your head, what? Well, wait a minute. Paul is not talking about unbelievers here. He's actually talking about believers. As John MacArthur says, while this lady was no doubt involved in the church when her husband was around, she's clearly living like an unregenerate, like a lost person. Far from being supported by the church, such women need to be abandoned to the consequences of their sins. Their desperate situation may then lead them to repentance. So what's happening here is that Paul is saying when someone is living in sin, it's just like any other person that's living in sin. You press them and you hold them accountable in hopes that it causes them to return to Christ. And so when you think about our food pantry, you think about that, you know, we have people coming and we're giving food to people. We're giving food for the purpose of being able to preach the gospel to everybody. So this isn't saying that if a person is lost and they come to get food from us, we're going, nah, nope, you're not a part of us, get out of here. That's not it. It's about a person who is a part of us, who is living like the world. And apparently this is something that was going on in Ephesus. I don't know that I've ever actually seen this carried out in my ministry and experience where we had a widow who was living in rebellion against God. But apparently this is something that was going on in Ephesus. And Paul says, those women, these aren't the women that I'm talking about. It's the ones who have set their hope on God. He's talking to the church. In verse 7 he says, command these things as well so that they may be without reproach. So Paul says, command these things as well. What does that mean? Well, you know, back in chapter 14, he kept saying, command and teach these things. He's talking about clinging to the gospel and how we need to make sure we're clinging to the gospel by the men we let stand in the pulpit, by the men that we allow to be deacons. We're clinging to the gospel and how we structure ourselves. You know, we're clinging to the gospel and how we love each other. Paul says, these things about widows that I just said, these also are about clinging to the gospel. We're clinging to the gospel when we're taking care of those amongst us who are unable to care for themselves and have no family to care for them. We're clinging to the gospel when you hold people accountable to live the way that the Scriptures call them to live. We're clinging to the gospel when we are being a family to one another. His command to the church is to take care of those who are truly widows. His message is to the church, his message is to widows, and his message is to the church about their family members. Maybe you've never thought about this being really important. I know God really began to dig into me in that it is our responsibility as a church to look out for our widows. You know, I have them, the space in my prayer journal where I pray for all them and can rattle off their names, but you know what? Those prayers are supposed to lead me to go and be the hands and feet of Christ to them, to love on them, to be there for them. Maybe they don't need my money. Maybe they don't need our money, but they do need to know that we love them and that we care about them and that we're here for them, even if they're taken care of financially by their children. And you know, we live in a day and age that you know, I would say that often is the case that financially their husbands possibly made enough money and left enough that they are taken care of. But that doesn't remove the responsibility of us to show them that they are loved, that we are there for them. We should check on them by calling them or stopping by and visiting them. We should make sure that the gospel is continually being pressed into their lives. Paul gives instructions on how we should be living and loving them whether they are in need or not. You should live for those who are widows. You should live with your hope that is set on God. For those who are in need in any way, you should live with your hope set on God. You should both day and night be in prayer and supplication. And to the family, he says this. And God really dug into me with this as well. And I reached out to my grandmother in repentance because God really convicted me that I've not been the grandson that I ought to be in regards to just showing her that I love her, letting her know that I love her, calling her, checking on her. Paul says that for those who aren't looking out for their loved ones, that we're in danger of being worse than unbelievers. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be an unbeliever, and I certainly don't want to be worse than an unbeliever. God gave us families, and we ought to love them in spite of them. We ought to pray for them. We ought to reach out to them, and in times, take care of them. That didn't always mean, you know, some will hear this and go, well, that means we can't hire anybody to help us, or that means we can't, under any circumstances, put our loved one in a nursing home. That is not what Paul is saying. It would certainly be negligent if you hired someone to help them and never had any involvement in their lives, or you put them in a nursing home and forgot about them. That's negligence, and that's to be worse than an unbeliever. But there's nothing wrong with providing for them in those ways, as long as you're still going through those issues and those problems with them. The issue here is negligence, that we should not neglect to take care of, to be there for our family members. To those who are believers, I encourage you to cling to the gospel by looking out for those around you who are unable to look out for themselves. The Scriptures talks about widows, it talks about orphans, it talks about sojourners, it even talks about those who are in prison. It is the call of God to a church who is intent on clinging to the gospel to take care of those people, to love those people, to provide for those people in their need. And so I hope that for those of you who are believers at First Baptist Church Henryville, that from this sermon, you would go away going, who are those in our church who are widows that I can look out for and pray for and visit and call and be a part of their lives? And maybe you're a believer today and you realize you've been negligent towards your own family. I pray that you would realize that that's clinging to the gospel. And when you're not looking out for your loved ones, you're not clinging to the gospel. Just like when you're not taking care of the widows. And to those of you who are lost, to be an unbeliever, to be a self-indulgent person, to be someone who lives for you, is to be separated from God for all eternity. It's to be alienated from God. And right now, that might not feel too bad to you. But on the day when Jesus returns, I want you to know that forever and ever and ever, He will unleash His holy wrath on you, and there will come no end to it. Because that is exactly what you deserve. It's what I deserve. It's what everybody in here deserves. But Jesus came and lived a perfect, sinless life. And He bore our wrath on Calvary's tree. Naked, shamed, abused, ridiculed, dead, buried. For me. For my sins. and for the sins of all those who believe on His name. 3 days later, after laying in the tomb rotten, He came back to life. He rose victorious, conquering hell, death, the grave, our sin, and now He sits on the right hand of the throne of His Father, interceding for us. And He calls out this morning for you to believe. He demands that you believe. And before we might get to the campground today, wouldn't it be glorious? It'd be awesome for those who believe if Jesus burst through those clouds and came back to take us home to be with Him. But for those of you who have not believed, it'll be a horrible day of reckoning for you. And so we invite you, we implore you, we plead with you today. Be reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You. Thank You for Your Word. That on verses that I myself was not real excited about preaching, that You have taken and used in my life in a big way. And I thank You, God, that You've not left me to my sin and my negligence. And I pray, God, that Your Word would bring full repentance in me, God, that it changes the way that I live and love those around me, that it has an effect on me that goes on forever. And I pray, God, that for Your church, for those who are believers, that they not take this lighthearted but seriously. And for those who are here today that do not know You and the power of Your resurrection, God, I pray that on a day like this, a sermon about widows, that You would radically save them from the pit and make them Your people. Call them Your children, that their lips might proclaim praises to Your great name. For we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.